Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. We are here for another episode of The Best Hour on blogtalkradio.com. You can find us by searching for The Best Hour. You can also find us on our website, truthought.org, truthought.org. And we are going to be discussing Lesson 19 today. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. And I am joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me here.
My pleasure. I love doing these lessons. So yeah. Thank you for.
Oh, glad to be doing them with you.
Yeah.
So we thank you as well, Mighty Companion. Thank you for joining us today. We are going to take a moment of silence. Let's just enjoy a moment of silence together. Come together in mind and heart. Let's take a good deep breath. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. The idea for today is obviously the reason why your seeing does not affect you alone. You will notice that at times the ideas related to thinking precede those related to perceiving, while at other times the order is reversed. The reason is that the order does not actually matter. Thinking and its results are really simultaneous, for cause and effect are never separate.
Today we are again emphasizing the fact that minds are joined. This is rarely a wholly welcome idea at first, since it seems to carry with it an enormous sense of responsibility and may even be regarded as an invasion of privacy. Yet it is a fact that there are no private thoughts. Despite your initial resistance to this idea, you will yet understand that it must be true if salvation is possible at all. And salvation must be possible because it is the will of God.
The minute or so of mind searching, which today's exercises require, are to be undertaken with eyes closed. The idea is to be repeated first, and then the mind should be carefully searched for the thoughts it contains at that time. As you consider each one, name it in terms of the central person or theme it contains and hold it in your mind as you do so. Say, I am not alone in experiencing the effects of this thought about, and fill in the blank.
The requirement of as much indiscriminateness as possible in selecting subjects for the practice period should be quite familiar to you by now and will no longer be repeated each day, although it will occasionally be included as a reminder. Do not forget, however, that random selection of subjects for all practice periods remains essential throughout. Lack of order in this connection will ultimately make the recognition of lack of order in miracles meaningful to you.
Apart from the quote-unquote as-needed application of today's idea, at least three practice periods are required, shortening the length of time involved if necessary. Do not attempt more than four. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. And so it is. Again, let's join together for another moment of silence. Let's take another good deep breath now. Minds are joined. Our minds have always been joined. I used to marvel at what I thought was serendipity or just coincidence when I'd be thinking about somebody and the phone would ring and there they would be. But as I began to understand creation, the joining of mind is the effect of being created in relationship. At one point, Raj would say, you know, you have to forgive God because God created you in relationship, and you cannot be outside relationship. We really cannot be outside of joined mind. But in this perception of illusion, as it were, of separation. We've certainly attempted to create the illusion that we are separate, that we are experiencing and having private thoughts. But that was one of the most startling and actually now joyful things about the teaching of A Course in Miracles is there's no such thing as private thoughts. Private thoughts are not possible. And so when we first met, you know, it's like that was just one of the tenets, you know, no private thoughts, mm-hmm. but no people pleasing. But you can't really have private thoughts.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I'm like, what do you mean no private thoughts? Yeah. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah. You can't read my mind.
Right.
But then again.
And it did feel like an invitation for an invasion of privacy.
Yeah. Right.
So why is it that there are no private thoughts?
Because the minds are joined. Mm-hmm. All of mind is joined. And it's, again, I always use this wonderful example that Jesus introduces us to in the Course in Miracles, which is the sleeping self. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't realize that you're safe at home in bed, but you're there all night long experiencing its thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's like a separate self, mm-hmm. the sleeping self. Mm-hmm. It's like a split mind, one more level, if you will, but it's unaware that its thoughts aren't private. Mm-hmm. But there you are, experiencing all of its thoughts, peering in, so to speak. And then when you wake up, you realize how foolish its ideas of reality were. Its reality was just a construct of mind. It was just a movie playing out in the mirror of the mind. And it wasn't, none of it was real. You know, all the dramas and the people that were playing out their roles and the things and places that you visited. I've been in hot tubs and I've been on motorcycles and I've been walking on trails and I've, you know, had sex and all kinds of things. And then I'd wake up and no, that wasn't what was happening at all. Those were just illusions.
But how does that connect with private thoughts that there are no private thoughts?
Well, I was there all along, even though it was unaware of me, the higher self that I am, that mind that I'm speaking to you from now, this awakened mind, is almost like a separate self because it wasn't conscious that I was safe at home in bed. It wasn't conscious of the life I'm living, the work I'm doing today that I had planned, whatever I had planned for my day, who I'm married to or anything else. It could be in people that had passed away were there in those dreams. It had no awareness that I'm watching those thoughts and watching those experiences. And it's not confused by my clarity of truth that none of that's real. It really thinks that it's having its own little private life and its private thoughts about things. But when I wake up, I realize that no, none of those thoughts were private. I was there all along. And I want to say that your higher self, your true self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, is right here with you in all the thoughts that you're thinking now. You really have no private thoughts. And that mind is joined with all that is.
And I think that the important distinction in this lesson is that rather than thinking of it negatively as an invasion of privacy, to also remember or begin to realize that that is the key to salvation. It says, you know, that despite your initial resistance to this idea, you will yet understand that it must be true if salvation is possible at all. And so why then is that? Can you speak to that? So private thoughts, that there are no private thoughts, is actually necessary for salvation.
Because it's moving to the realization of the relationship of mind with all mind, with all that is. We are in relationship with all that is. So there's another way of coming at this that I was kind of, as you were speaking, I was kind of being given. And it was, here's a question. Have you ever wanted somebody to know how much you love them.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Is that a thought that you wanted to be kept private? Never, not really. Not real love. Real love is always a gift. And people who are distant from us, you know, we say, well, I hold you in my thoughts. I really am holding them in my love. Mm. I want them, I want my mother to know how much I love her. Mm. I want my children to know how much I love them. Mm. I wish that they could hear my private thoughts of love, right? And that's what love is. It's always being extended, and it's nothing that we would ever want to be held private, right? But the thoughts of the ego mind are thoughts of fear, and they are thoughts that are made in the absence of love. Fear is a thought made in the absence of love. Love is always wanting to be extended, and fear is always wanting to contract and separate. And so really what we're talking about is that if once we become enlightened and connected and joined in union and relationship with our higher self, which is the purpose of this course, to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the thoughts of love, right? There's nothing that you would ever want to be private. Mm-hmm. Privacy is a construct of fear. And so salvation is to awaken to the realization that that's not true self. That's a made-up idea of who and what we are to begin with. And so as we move into that realization, that enlightenment, any idea of wanting to harbor private thoughts is let go of. It's seen for what it is. It's a thought of fear.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, going back to the traditional interpretation of the life of Christ and or the life of Jesus, who became, you know, Christ in the experience that we're all familiar with, you know, the idea that, you know, he could die for the sins of others is in some way skewed idea of this, like the idea that if we can turn it just a little bit more, that the awakening to the Christ consciousness of one does influence others, that as one of us awakens, as you know, that it impacts others, because I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thought or the effects of my awakening. And so that that there is that interconnection, and perhaps that's also why salvation becomes more possible or is possible, because there are no private thoughts. The idea that because I have awakened, you know, and I'm thinking of Jesus right now, you know, it impacts the awakening of all. The idea of every time we connect for one of these lessons, you know, every time we give a message, every time we connect in with our community in Zoom, we always pause. You know, we always pause and we take a breath and we connect in heart and mind. And when we're doing that, yes, we are connecting in heart and mind with our higher self, but we're also connecting with one another, recognizing the oneness and the unity of one another. And that in that heart and mind, we meet in the same place, the heart and mind of God, or all that is. And it is a recognition of our connection, our inner connectivity with one another, that we have forgotten in this particular dream of separation that we're having. And so that's why we take that breath. But what has been connected, what is connected, can never, kind of like what we say in traditional marriage vows, you know, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And God made us in relationship. We are already joined together. We've just forgotten it. And because of that, we are in relationship. So what Raj said, you know, we got to forgive God because we were, you know, made in relationship. And that's part of our salvation. That's part of the beauty. It is that relationship that we are already connected. We've just forgotten. And there is a theory in, you know, physics, quantum physics of entanglement, that which is already connected, you know, even though they, like in the Big Bang, you know, everything blew up and separated, all of those parts and particles all still came from one, and they are still all connected. And there's this theory of entanglement that even though you are at a distance, what one particle does impacts and affects another. And so too, like our minds, this is why prayer works. This is why, you know, salvation is possible, that I can hold, like you said, I keep you in my thoughts is really to say I keep you in love. And this is why, you know, prayer is possible as impacting one another, that I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thought of love. You know, that it, because we're in relationship and we're entangled, that impacts one another. Now, of course, the converse becomes true, you know, which is what we've experienced in separation. Our thoughts of separation impact one another when we're in that consciousness. But the grace of oneness is the one power that the thought of love will always prevail and be the only power and strength. So I really love this lesson and this conversation mm-hmm. of I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. And that it doesn't matter which thoughts we're talking about, to enforce the idea that there's no order of difficulty in miracles.
Yes. I feel like I'm seeing a field of energy like a dust storm from the desert. And we add to it or we withdraw from it. So any thoughts that we're aligning to or giving our awareness to is that are egoic thoughts of fear, we're adding to that energy, and it's like that dust cloud, and all of us here in the world are adding to it, or we are abstaining from it, we're withdrawing from it, and the field of love is really it's encompasses and embraces all that is.
Mm.
And so I mean, when you were referring to Jesus and the resurrection, you know, what he teaches is now through what he's been teaching of late is that, you know, what he accomplished was accomplished for all of us.
Yes.
And so like you think of the biggest, you know, like the mighty oak or the mighty redwood tree, mm-hmm. right? In the seed where a new tree can be brought, you know, can be born, mm-hmm. you know, emerges. The all of the big redwood is contained within the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like when Jesus became accomplished in the awakening, the full awakening of mind of man,
mm-hmm.
right? That was accomplished in all of us. So the seed at that point has been planted in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all accomplished. We're all already accomplished. So the seed is already there. And all we have to do is to water that seed and nourish that seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it will grow mm-hmm. into the full-on accomplishment. We are already fully accomplishment. And it, all of it is already there. So it's just our realization that it's already accomplished is the only task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's keeping us from realizing that is giving our attention, our awareness to the thoughts of the ego mind, the thoughts of fear, the dust storm, you know, and it's blanketing the earth, and we can rise above it.
Mm-hmm.
We literally ascend above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, imagine being in a dust storm. It's confusing and frightening and, you know, all the fear that would go with that experience. But that's like being on this planet in this energy field of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we can rise above it because it's we're already accomplished. We already have the wings to fly above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to like, just get thee behind me. I'm not going to pay attention to the world. I'm not going to pay attention to fear. I'm not going to pay attention to all of the, you know, positioning of being a human in form. And I'm going to return to the teaching and the memory of my true self and mm-hmm. allow that to be my voice. Mm-hmm. Allow that to be what I represent here.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just representing being human and being an ego and being a persona in one way or another, I want to set that aside and begin to represent being love.
And in that, you're the savior of the world.
That's right.
And we do that in relationship. And so we're celebrating that our minds are joined. We're celebrating our actually that cause and effect are one.
Yes.
You know, which saves a whole lot of time.
Yeah. And giving and receiving are one.
Yeah.
All of that.
And it's okay that there are no private thoughts. It's actually a key to salvation. And so we just practice, you know, this idea. It's really profound that I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. And going back a couple lessons, you know, there's no more contradictory statement or incorrect statement than, you know, that of idle thoughts.
Yeah.
And so this helps us to become aware. There's no judgment in this lesson. It's really, again, about freedom. That when we understand lesson by lesson more fully.
That we are free.
That we are free.
To choose.
Yes. Yes.
The thoughts we represent.
Yes.
The thought system we represent in our response and expression in the world today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we just start with thought by thought during, you know, 3 or 4 minute periods.
Just watching our thoughts, really.
Yeah, no judgment.
No
just
judgment.
Watch the thoughts.
That's right.
And then understand, you know, I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. So for me personally, and I know we're going a little long, but for me personally, like, you know, I've been really hooked by the media surrounding, you know, the election and then going into this inauguration with, you know, the riots on the Capitol or the insurrection or whatever we want to call it, you know, from last week. And I'm, you know, tomorrow is the inauguration day of January 20th. And, you know, and as I watch these things unfold in our country, the thoughts that I think about them, I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts about this. And we are seeing the demonstration of that in our world, regardless of what you think about it, because there seems to be two camps, you know, on what we think about it. But we are seeing the outpicturing of the effects of our thoughts about this particular thing in the world. And I'm finding it fascinating to observe and then to disengage myself, you know, from it, to disengage that I am actually not really happy when that's where my focus is. I'm caught up in the dust storm.
Mm.
Right? I'm caught up in the dust storm. And then what good is that? It's only contributing to the dust storm. And you can indeed, you know, experience multiplying nothing. You know, it doesn't extend it, but we can experience that, or we can do as you're suggesting and, you know, rise above to thoughts of love. But for today, we're just supposed to notice. Today, we don't have to, you know, take on, I'm the savior of the world. For today, we just practice the lesson and notice what we notice and trust that we don't even do this lesson alone. So imagine everybody doing this lesson, your mighty companions and your beloveds and all those who have gone before us doing this lesson, and Jesus as our instructor, you know, that we don't do this lesson alone. And so, you know, we're just asked to practice it today.
Indeed. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thought. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you, Mighty Companion, for joining us today, for hanging out with us through this conversation. God bless you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens.